My name is Pastor William, and I'm bringing the Word of God this morning. Thank God for the joy of worship, beautiful singing, all to the glory of God. The hymn, "Blessed Be the Tithe, Blessed Be the Tithe That Abounds," was written by John Fawcett, a minister in the 1700s in Britain. The hymn stresses the idea that the church of Jesus Christ is bound together by love. It also emphasizes the idea of suffering and rejoicing together, and our unity in Christ will not be permanently broken by death or by parting. The hymn was first called "Brotherly Love." Listen to these stanzas. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour out our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. We have been doing a summer series from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians over the past few months. And finally, today we come to the last chapter. Chapter 16. Let me remind you quickly, up to this point, we have covered this unity in the church. I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollo, I'm for this unity. And that was chapters 1-4. We also saw immorality in the church. Chapters 5 to 6. We see marriage infidelity issues in the church. Chapter 7, personal liberty. Chapters 8-9, worship in the church. We dealt extensively on spiritual gifts. Chapters 12-14, and last week, Pastor Dave ended the sermon on the resurrection, our hope of the resurrection. And today in chapter 16, Paul gives a charge to the church. He's calling on the Corinthian church to demonstrate practical Christian love. And he also called on the church to demonstrate practical Christian love and care by collecting an offering for those who are struggling, who are needy in Jerusalem. And also he charges them to respect those ministers who care for them and to maintain genuine fellowship with one another. So with that, let us stand and read the powerful word of God, the pure word of God. Will you please stand with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we are going to read the whole chapter. And this is the pure, unadulterated word of God. Now concerning the collection for the sins, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you and even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encourage him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on your light, stand firm in the faith. Act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I ask you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruit of Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the ministry, to the saints. That you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunas and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greetings in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the law, he is to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Collecting an offering for believers in need. That was verses 1 to 4. Paul begins this chapter as he concludes his first letter to the Corinthians with his concern for the needy believers in Jerusalem. The Corinthians has asked him about this matter, how they can help the Christians in Jerusalem who were going through tough time. And now he's responding to their question. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. Paul had a burden for those who were going through tough times. And so he went about contacting the churches in the area. in the region for them to come and help the brothers and sisters in need in Jerusalem. And he also emphasized the same to the Corinthians. There was a very special concern for Paul. And now he's directing the Corinthians to do likewise. This particular collection was mentioned, is mentioned in Acts also and in Romans. As I mentioned earlier, Paul had a burden for the poor in Jerusalem, especially so when they were experiencing famine. These people were out of jobs. The only job that was being provided in the area were temple jobs. But when these Christians turned to Christ, the leaders in the temple area who were in control seemed to be against them because they had accepted Jesus Christ. And so it was tough on them. The business of relieving the poor members of the church is a moral responsibility, one commentator said. The business of relieving the poor members of the church, the needy people in the church, is a moral duty, a service which God is pleased with. In other words, it is not an option for Christians to help other believers in need. It is not an option. It is a spiritual, practical spiritual responsibility. And that is why here at Crossroads we try. Our deacons are so vigilant in ministering to the needs of those struggling in our midst. And I just want to praise God for them, for our deacon ministry. We want to continue to meet needs of our people. Did you know that the Red Cross started as a Christian organization? Yes. I don't know what happened down the line, whereby Christians really care. They care. And today there are several Christian relief organizations meeting physical needs of people over the world. Let's continue to pray for our deacons' ministry. Paul tells the Corinthians to take a collection, an extra offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. And he said, as God put it on your heart. We see a practical stewardship principles. The first is that is the procedure in giving. He said, on the first day of the week, set something aside, saving, so that you'll be able to give when I come. Each one puts something aside, save it as he may prosper, as God blesses him or her. And this is a shining stewardship principle. Plan your giving. Plan your giving. Don't give to God any kind of way. Plan your giving. Make a budget and prioritize tithing, giving to God's work. Put down something before you come to church on Sunday morning. Plan it. And he said, give proportionally as you are blessed, so you must give. And you must give joyfully. I've gone to churches where offering time, people dancing, and they carry a tithe offering to joyfully dancing and give their offering, put their offering in the plate. One lady came to the church one day and brought $50. And she said, Pastor, it's my gift to the church. Is it okay? And the pastor said, does it represent you? I mean, stewardship-wise, proportionally? And are you giving it joyfully? She didn't say anything. She went back home and came back with $500. Pastor said, does it represent you? Proportionally, as God has blessed you? She went back. She came back with $50,000. With a big smile on her face. Pastor said, okay. Thank you. I see that smile on your face. And God sees it also. Tithe and offering, friends. Paul said, lay down something. So when I come, you don't just rush. Or when you come to church Sunday morning, you start counting. Plenty and give it. In the Old Testament, people gave 10%. But that was just a little portion of their income because they had to pay temple, they had to do temple offering and all kinds. When you add that up, it will come almost to 30%. So we shouldn't just take out 10% and say my tithe. We start with 10%, but it grows. You make $100. $10 for God. And sometimes it's not only your salary, God blesses you in many other ways, so you can add to that. But you can begin with 10%. Amen? This is what God expects of us. God has blessed us so much. Let us joyfully give to his work. Amen? And he said, give, see, I will not bless you. If I will not open the windows, test God. Give to his word. And see how he will bless you. Amen. I admire people who, as soon as they get their pay, the first thing they take off is their tithe. And God sees that. Secondly, accounting for the giving. Not only procedure for giving, but accounting for giving. He said, entrust your giving to trustworthy people to make sure it is used for the intended purpose. And here at Crossroads, we got trusted people. If you check the newsletter, they give account every month. None of the pastors know your stewardship given to the church. But we have people who are trusted, who give an account every month, make a report to make sure that the intended purpose for your tithes and offerings are used in the right way. A financial report. The second thing Paul tells the Corinthian church, not only to collect an offering, but he said respect faithful Christian leaders who minister to you. And this is very important. Look at verses 5 to 12. The leaders listed here express the desire to visit the Corinthian believers, to minister to their needs. And they have real concern for this believer in Corinth. So Paul said, these men, respect them. They care about you. They care about you. Paul first mentioned himself. He said, I desire to come and visit you, to be with you, and to fellowship with you. But I could not do so immediately. There were some hindrances in my way. God had other plans for me. When Paul did not show up, they got angry. All the men say, you are coming. Where is he now? Paul says, oh yeah, he's outcome. But right now, God has opened doors of opportunity. Let me attend to them. But I will come to visit you. Don't interpret my absence at this time as a lack of trustworthiness. So I think let us not be too quick to judge our leaders. Let us not be too quick. If they don't call you, there must be a reason. If they promise to come, there could be something intervening. Leaders in the church care about you. The Corinthians misinterpreted Paul not coming. And he said, Timothy will come also. But Paul warned the Corinthians against treating him with disrespect and contempt because he was a young man. Paul said, no way. This man, he's a minister as I am. He's doing the same way God called him. Let us not judge people in terms of respecting them by their age. He said, he's coming. He's doing the Lord's work. As I am doing. Timothy is young, but no matter, he should be respected. And he also said, Apollos is coming. Paul informed the church about plans of Apollos coming to the church. The Corinthians tried to bring about division between these ministers, Apollos and Paul. And Paul is reminding them that ministers of the gospel are united. Don't divide them. Don't try to divide them. Apollos will come to you. Crossroads, please do everything to care for and appreciate Christian leaders who are ministering in this church. They are working for Christ and his church. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13:17. We love our work we do. We want to do it with joy. But we need your prayers. We need your cooperation. Let us build God's church together. And Paul talks about Christian fellowship. Being in fellowship with fellow believers in the church. True Christian fellowship is defined as a deep, active bond between believers centered on their shared faith in Jesus Christ. It involves a mutual sharing of life burden and resources together. It is characterized by love. Go ahead and read the lyrics to that song I started with. Say, we share our burden together, our woes, our joys. And if one of us have to go away, it means that we cry because we are so close. Brothers and sisters, there were two brothers who had moved to a new school. They didn't know each other. They were orphans from babies, and they were given up for adoption. And by chance of divine providence, they went to the same school. And people start looking at them. How you people resemble so? How you people y'all talk the same way? And people start telling them, that's a guy who almost looked at you. So they got concerned, and they met, one day they met in the cafeteria. And they pinch each other. Say, yeah, the people are right. Something. So they met privately and said, hey, man, where are you from? I'm from here. I grew up in this town. I said, me too. And as time went by, one of the foster mothers or adoptive mothers met both of them together. She sat down. You two are brothers. So what? You two are brothers. And she explained how they were adopted. From that time, their attitude toward one another changed. They were not just passing by. They were meeting for hours and talking. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible says, by our love, the world will know. The world will know by our fellowship. True Christian fellowship. It involves mutual sharing of life, burdens, and resources. It is characterized by love, accountability, and mutual encouragement, working together in faith. So Paul said, in order for this to happen, we should look out. We should be careful, be a light in faith. Stand firm in the faith. Do everything in love. And I love this. Do everything in love. Paul instructs the Corinthians believers to be on their light, or look out, stand firm in the faith, and act like men, and be strong, and do everything in love. This means that they are to be like strong soldiers on guard, watching for various enemies and watching for the coming of Christ. I know sometimes we live down here so concerned about earth and don't have heavenly concerns. Pay the bills, go to work. Paul says, the Bible says, invest in heaven because Jesus is coming. We need to hold together. He warns them to stand firm in their faith and their liberty in Jesus Christ, in unity. Standing firm in one spirit, one mind, together, striving for the faith of the gospel. How's our fellowship here, Crossroads? How is our Christian fellowship here? I thank God for our Bible study group. I thank God. We can't wait Monday evening to come together. Over the months, we've grown together as believers in studying the Word of God together. You need to belong to a group. You need to belong to a group. Thank God we provide a lot of opportunity for you to connect. Don't live the Christian life all by yourself alone. Be careful. We need the encouragement of one another. And here Paul lays examples of true fellowship, real Christian fellowship. He named Stephanas, Fortunas, and Achaicus. These people embodied true Christian caring and fellowship. If you read verses 15 to 18. Now I urge you, brethren, brethren, you know the household of Stephen and they were the first fruit in Achaia. They were among the first believers. And they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. They care for fellow believers. And I know there are people in the church who really have a heart for everybody. He said they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men and do and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice about the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit. These people visited Paul in prison, and they sat with him. They encouraged him. They fellowship together. He said, they have refreshed my spirit. Therefore, I acknowledge such men. These were the men who brought the question of the Corinthians to church about collecting offering. And Paul sends them back with this letter to ask that they be received as devoted saints, devoted servants of the Lord. Paul said that they refresh his spirit. Paul is so grateful because they ministered to his needs when they visited him. These men were among the first to be saved in the region, and they were growing in their faith and caring for fellow believers. And now they are ministering to Paul's needs in a wonderful Christian fellowship. They refresh his spirit. He said, I'm so grateful to them. When I came to this country alone, leave my family behind, looking for a church to go to, Jack Masinger and Cindy, Pastor Dave's wife, and Sandy, her husband, were here in this church. They visited me. I was living Chestnut and Garrett Road, right there in the apartment buildings. They visited me. And little Fred Robertson invited me after service to his home for dinner almost every Sunday. Christian fellowship. Then I was attending Westminster Seminary. I will come from campus almost 10 o'clock at night. And Dennis, who was the husband of Sandy, said, anytime you reach, just come to our house. Your coffee will be ready. And dinner will be here for you as well. Again, I encourage all of us to join a fellowship, to connect. A Sunday school class, a Bible study group. We need one another. I thank God for how they ministered to me and through Pastor Tim, who are also a professor at the seminary. I'm here today. Let's maintain a close Christian fellowship. We need one another in the Lord. Finally, Paul told them about greetings from all over to this church. People care for the Corinthians, even though they didn't care for one another, but people cared about them. And so Paul conveys loving Christian greetings from fellow Christians far and near. Greetings from Asia, indicating Christian concern for their well-being. Also sending them greetings where a married couple called Aquila and Prisca, who ministered with Paul earlier when Paul founded the ministry of this church. A group of believers. They all were greeting them. Yes, Christian love. Who are you connecting to? Who are you calling on the phone to check on them? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, before you rush, Paul urges them, believer, to greet one another with a holy. This was pure expression of Christian love. Nothing with sexual overtones. That was what it did in the culture. It was a kiss on the forehead. Today, it can be compared to a good handshake or a good, friendly, loving hug. The Corinthians believers were cool toward one another. Cool. Have you noticed someone call, hey, how you doing, Jehovah? And they just do like this. How you feel? How you doing, brother? That's how the Corinthians, they were so mean-spirited, pompous. And Paul said, no, greet one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Greet one another. Christians should lovingly greet one another, reflecting Christ's love and concern. And Paul said, look, have genuine love for Jesus. If you really have Jesus, if you really love Jesus, you will love one another. Have genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ or be accursed. You know, the Christians were even questioning the resurrection. A lot was going on in this church, the Corinthian church. Of course, Paul said, all this is happening because you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Failing to realize that you are a body of Christ. They were not showing the love for Jesus. One commentator wrote, love is an affection of the heart, but discernible by overt acts. When you love somebody, you will show it by how you behave, how you act. And they were not, no way acting like they love Jesus. Among the ancient Jews, anathema or accursed was the third level of discipline. The first level was a simple separation from the synagogue for 30 days. If one does not repent in 30 days, the second discipline will be giving him indefinite time with warning of dire consequences if he or she doesn't repent. And the third was anathema. You call off from the synagogue forever. You can't even call yourself a Jew with no hope of reconciliation and repentance. He's cut off from the synagogue and no longer considered as a Jew at all. And so Paul admonished the Christians in Corinth to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't show any love for Christ, that means they don't belong to him. Because Jesus said, by your love and obedience of my word, you will show you are my disciples. And he emphasized that God's wrath and judgment rest on them. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound, may increase, may it never be? How shall we who die to sin still live in it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Paul said, the grace of God is still with you. That's time. That's time to turn around. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And my love with you. God unmerited favor of his grace in Christ, which he extends to the sinner, and from which all other gifts come, he said, Paul said, it is with you. Lastly, Paul said, in his final word, my love be with you. Can you imagine all the treatment they are giving Paul? He said, I love you. I love you, Corinthians. I love you in spite of all that you've done. And this is a reminder to pastors, Christian leaders, who are so quick to get disappointed and frustrated with believers. I remember that we need to love our people. Our love should characterize our service, our ministry to them. No matter what they've done, we should forgive them. Because love bears all things. Let me close again, taking you back to the hymn. Let's be the tie that binds. This man, John Fawcett, was leaving the ministry he had. He was moving to a bigger town. But the people of that church started crying tears when he had packed the wagon to leave, all pouring out love. And John said, you know what? Unload my things. I'm going to stay. Let us love one another. First, love Christ. And maintain our Christian fellowship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we hold together in brotherly love in this church, no matter where we come from. Next Sunday we'll be marching with flags, but those flags don't count if we don't love one another. First of all, we want to show the world that we're holding those flags because we belong to Jesus and we love one another. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.